Hello and welcome to Conference in Review. I'm Dana.
And I'm Derek.
Today we are studying The Name of the Church is Not Negotiable. This is given by Elder Neil L. Anderson. It was in the second session on Sunday, so the afternoon session. It was the second to last talk right before the prophet. Derek, would you like to share with us about this talk?
Yeah, this is a talk about what President Nelson on August 16th, 2018, he was impressed to change the name, or not to change the name, but to have us use the name of the Church of Jesus Christ or Latter-day Saints and not Mormon or any of the other names, but use the name that the church is called. And there's some uproar by, you know, people questioning, how can you do that? Because you have so many things that have other names. And President Nelson didn't really care. This is what the Lord wants. We're doing it. He didn't really care what it was going to take. It's like, this is the Lord has asked. We'll do it. We'll figure it out.
They thought, from a branding point of view, it's like, well, you're already LDS and Mormon. Yeah. And that's easy to say. Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints, that's a mouthful.
Yeah, we're not trying to make more money. You know, we're not trying to make our brand more cute. We want it. It's more important that we use the name of Jesus Christ, that more people understand that this is the Church of Jesus Christ. And with all those other names, there's confusion. Just like we talked about, it's the, you know, that we go and help and they're like, well, the only two groups that showed up were the Mormons and the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints. And it's like, okay, well, by using that name all the time, there's less confusion. Everybody knows this is the Church of Jesus Christ.
Because we want to be known for who we really worship and what we're about. And yeah. We're not about, as much as we love the Book of Mormon, Jesus Christ is more important to us than the Book of Mormon. And now you're like, oh, I'm more important than the Book of Mormon. Yeah, well, Christ, the Book of Mormon was a tool to help us come unto Christ. It's all about Christ. The Book of Mormon is secondary to that. I was telling, as we were prepping for this, I told Derek, the thing that keeps coming to my head is when I was teaching little kids at school about, when I teach them how to read music, you start off in the Kodai method, if any of you are music people, and you'll call them ta, ta, ti, ti, ta. You call them tas and titis and tiki, tiki. And they told them, you know, there comes a time we got to know them by their names. And I gave them the example of my little brother, Clayton. When he was a little boy, this is like pre-kindergarten, everybody called him Boo Boo. We knew his name was Clayton, but it was just so much cuter. He's little, he's cute, we'll call him Boo Boo. There comes a time when this little kid is going to be a man and you can't call him Boo Boo anymore. His name is Clayton. He was named for his great-great-grandfather who traveled brought his family across the country and was a great man, beloved by his daughter, who was my great-grandmother, and all this legacy. His middle name is Spencer for the prophet, Spencer W. Kimball. His name means something. And I think of that as an analogy to the church. Is Mormon, yeah, we indulged it and we kind of went with it. But there comes a time where we need to mature as a people of this church to where we need to acknowledge our true name, and our true name reflects who we are. And that is believers and followers of Jesus Christ.
Yeah, and then he goes on to explain that twice to reporters, 2 days later and then 7 weeks later, in conference, he said, the Lord impressed on my mind the importance of the name he decreed for his church. And twice he said, the name of the church is not negotiable. And so because of that, he wasn't really going to back down to anybody's questions about how it wasn't, or if it was how we're going to just get it done. So The question comes up, and that kind of goes along with what you're saying, though. Why now? For many decades, we've had the Mormon Tabernacle Choir. I'm a Mormon boy. I mean, Mormon.org.
Meet the Mormons.
Yeah, I love the videos on I'm a Mormon, where people talk about their career and then how they're a Mormon. And so all of those things had to be changed, and they have been. Mm-hmm. It's, you know, that some people made it such a big deal, but it's more about being willing to follow Christ and follow the prophet.
And when I hear other people, maybe on YouTube, maybe I read about it, I get a sense when someone is willing to say, I'm a member of the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints, versus they still hang on to, I'm a Mormon, I'm LDS, and they don't explain the rest. I feel a difference there in a commitment of someone. Like when I was a little girl and my friends would say, what church do you go to? And someone would say, I go to the Community of Christ, I go to, which nobody went to that. Or I went to the, no one that I knew anyway, I go to St. Matthew's Episcopalian Church. I go to the Calvary Baptist Church. And then there's me. I go to the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints. And I always felt self-conscious about that mouthful. And I loved how with this new emphasis, and my mom would say, well, you don't need to feel self-conscious, that's our church. But I was embarrassed because it was so long. And I love how with the prophet telling us that little girl of me is comforted knowing I am a member of the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints. If you mean, I love in that talk when he first gave, if you mean, someone says, are you a Mormon? If you mean that I am a member of the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints, then yes. You remember that?
Uh-huh.
He gave all these things you could say.
Yeah, I was going to say something and I don't remember.
Don't worry, I'll edit it out later. All the ums, us.
He said, now is our time, and we're just reestablishing the revealed name of the church. It's in his name. Oh, the thing I was going to think about is when the church was first organized, we just studied this, the first name that the church had was the Church of Christ. And there are so many churches that had that name that they changed it to the Church of the LDS, I think is what it was called. And then it was a little later that they were told, the church's name is my name. It's the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints. And that's been the name ever since. And I don't remember what section that was. It seems like it was in the 80s or 90s. But since then, that's been the name. And there's just been a lot of nicknames and other names, but it's our time to let everyone know that's the name and that's the only name we're using. And if you are an active member of the church, use it.
When we were studying Come Follow Me about the name of the church, someone pointed out how it says of Jesus Christ. So when you say of something, it means it belongs to them. Now, in English, we do a lot of the apostrophe S, which no other language does that. Everything says of so-and-so to show ownership. So it's the Church of Jesus Christ. It's his church. But it is also of Latter-day Saints. It is our church, too. And I love how it's something that we share with Christ. This is his church, and it's our church, too.
Basically, the church has influence, and stating that it's the Church of Jesus Christ gives us strength in a darkening world. Did you have anything you wanted to comment in here?
Yeah, it's a shining light. And I like how he says that as we come more, it's like we're bringing ourselves more in line with being that Christian name. That by bringing this forward and showing that our church, our beliefs are about Christ more than anything else, that even the other Christians who are not in this church will respect us and know that we are also Christians, that we also have a testimony of Jesus Christ, and he's the center of our faith as well.
Then he thanks everyone for their noble effort, and that he mentions that the prophet mentioned that there's a promise that our rigorous attention to use the correct name of the Savior's church would bring us increased faith and access to greater spiritual power. I think every time we follow the prophet, we have access, and this is one of the things that he's asked us to do. Do you want to tell the story?
Oh, sure.
Okay.
Brother Lowry Ahola, I hope I'm saying that right. He's from the Eastern United States, and like me, was a little bit uncomfortable having to use such a long name, and it's not uncomfortable, but awkward. That's the word he used. I think awkward's a good word to say, because anyhow, so he decides, but I'm going to put it to the test. I'm going to do it, even though it feels strange. I'm going to do it anyway. So an acquaintance wants to ask him some questions about his faith, and he keeps saying, "Are you a Mormon?" And he says, "I am a member of the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints, yes." So he answered it the way the prophet advised us when he first had that talk. And he says, yes. So then the friend keeps asking him questions. Does the Mormon church believe this? Does the Mormon church believe that? And he keeps answering it with, in the restored Church of Jesus Christ, we believe. We're in this restored Church of Christ. And after a while, the guy realizes he keeps on like deflecting this word Mormon. So he's asking him about it. He's like, well, are you a Mormon? And this next part, I actually really love. This is something that our daughter, Rosemay, I heard her talking about it with, I don't know if it was her sister or one of the other kids, but she was joking about it. He goes, do you know who Mormon is? He goes, no. So he explains to him, he's an ancient prophet who compiled the Book of Mormon and edited down. He was a very important prophet, very good person, someone that he's proud to be associated with. However, and this is the kicker, Mormon didn't die for my sins. Mormon didn't atone for me. And that was funny. Rosemary would say, Mormon didn't die for my sins. And she loved that. She would go around and say it to her friends. Mormon didn't die for my sins. Mormon didn't suffer on Gethsemane or the cross. Jesus did it. And I love that because that is the name, like he says, and it is by his name that I want to be known. So as wonderful as Mormon is, and I'm proud to be associated with him, we don't worship Mormon. He's someone we revere like we revere Moses, who was amazing. But Jesus Christ is the center of our religions. And then his friend said, so you are a Christian.
He finally got on. Remember President Nelson's words. I promise you that if you will do our best to restore the correct name of the Lord's church, he whose church this is will pour down his power and blessings upon the heads of the Latter-day Saints, the likes of which we have never seen. Wow, that's a neat promise. Then he talks about a couple of miracles that happened. For years they'd been trying to buy the domain, which is, you know, the name that you type in on the internet to go to a website. And a lot of people will go and look at businesses, and if they haven't bought that domain name, they'll purchase it, and they can get it pretty cheap because it's not a big deal, hoping that in the future, at some point, that name will become popular or part of a big business, and they'll be willing to buy it for a lot of money. And so people, they call it, they buy them and camp on them, just sit on them, hoping that somebody will buy them for more money. And so he says that those names weren't available for a long time, but about the time President Nelson made the announcement, all of a sudden they became available. And he talks about how that was a total miracle. And then the Mormon Tabernacle Choir was changed to the Tabernacle Choir at Temple Square. LDS.org was revised to churchofjesuschrist.org. LDS Business College was changed to Ensign College. Mormon.org was redirected to churchofjesuschrist.org. Let's see, Mormon and LDS attached a thousand. Oh, there were thousands of products attached to Mormon and LDS that were renamed, and LDS saints have adjusted their websites, podcasts, and Twitter accounts. So it was a huge effort.
So we're going to be soon, in a few years, those of us who go back and accidentally say Motab, we're going to be dated just like our parents who say the mutual and MI. Actually, we say mutual from my parents. Or something more the Targeteers or the Blazers. Some of us who still say the Blazers and the Merry Miss, which don't exist. The Valiants. You know, every time that happens and your younger generation hears you, like, what kind of weird name is that, you oldie?
And so then he talks about that we adopted a new symbol. And it has the Christus with the living Christ. And he's symbolically standing under an arch, reminding us of the resurrected Savior's emerging from the tomb.
How many times... Well, I grew up in Indiana, and you'd see someone. It was very fashionable. But you know, people like to wear crosses. Some people wear crosses just because they think they look cool. But most of the people I knew wore crosses because they wanted to show that they were Christians, that they believed in Christ, that they wanted to show that. Like we might wear a CTR ring, and when that was, they said we wanted this new symbol. I loved it. Yeah. I thought, I have something I can wear, and there's no question. I don't need a translator to see who is that on my chest. That's not a cross. That's not the symbol of his death. That's him alive with the holes in his hands. And those holes, when he had those holes, he was not coming off the cross alive. No, you know, people didn't get crucified. I mean, I guess you hear about some people, they'd hang them up there long enough. But no. They weren't expected. When he was nailed on the cross, he was put on there to die. And he died. And that he came back as a living being with those prints in his hand, that is a miracle, because that wasn't supposed to happen according to those who did it to him.
Yeah.
And so I love that.
Yeah, he goes on to talk about all the different languages, over 50 languages where new domain names were acquired. You know, stating the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints in all those different languages.
Yeah, they have a typography, so they all have like the same font now.
Yeah. And then he says how grateful he is for others that recognize the name change. You know, it's sometimes I've read a few articles where they still use Mormon. It's like, really? You don't know? You know? Either they specifically are trying not to or don't know, but there's a lot who do and specifically use the name. And it's just, to me, every time I hear somebody say the full name, it's like, yes.
I feel respected.
Yeah, feel respected. And even when members, it's like, we're listening to the prophet, you know. This is important. We're recognizing Christ every time we say it. We're saying Christ is at the head of our church every time we say that. And so it's like a step up that we recognize that he's at the head of the church. So it's just neat.
I wanted to go back about the typography, those fonts. Uh-huh. You know why I like that? Is because as we use that and it becomes familiar, you could write something else with that font and you would still think of the church. Yeah, how many times have you seen Disney, the letters of the, like, Walt Disney's handwriting, the Disney font? It could be spelling anything and you think Disney or Star Wars has their own font too. And that's something that I thought was really cool about having our own typography or font.
He says there's going to be a few that try to detract or diminish the seriousness of our mission, but it makes it kind of obvious what they're doing when they do that. You obviously recognize, look, you know, we've made a statement that this is our name. If you're going to use those others, then...
I have noticed since then that most times when I see Mormon and... Not as much LDS, but mostly Mormon, a little bit LDS, that it's usually speaking in unfavorable terms about the church.
Yeah. And so he tells a story. Do you want to tell this story?
Oh, yeah. This is such a cute story. So there's a 10-year-old. What's her name? Iriuna.
Iriuna. It's an R.
Iriuna.
Iriura.
Iriura. And I listened to this talk several times. So you think I would know it by now. Iriua Jean. And I'm guessing that because he's a French speaker. So I don't think that'd be Jean. So this kid is following the prophet, 10 years old, and you're learning this a lot, especially in primary, and you want to be a faithful member of the church. And so when they asked the kids about their weekend, how'd your weekend go? He said, oh, I went to church and talked about church. And the teacher goes, oh, you're a Mormon. No, I'm a member of the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints. And the teacher's going, yes, that's Mormons. Well, I guess maybe this kid didn't realize that, but they were sticking to their guns. No, I belong to the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints. Now, the teacher's a little confused because she thinks she's pretty knowledgeable. She goes, those are Mormons, right? I thought they were Mormons. So she goes and she looks it up and researches it. And this resulted in her baptism. And what was really sweet is that when she was baptized, she thanked this little girl for
heeding the counsel of
President Heeding the Nelson. Counsel of the prophet by sticking by her gun, saying, no, I'm a member. And there's a picture. I think that's the two of them. She's giving her teacher a hug.
Yep.
And it's just the cutest thing.
Mm-hmm. And then he says, the name of the church is not negotiable. Let us go forward in faith. When we willingly follow the counsel of the Lord as revealed through his living prophet. We were talking about and come follow me on Sunday. Our instructor asked if he asked us if we would have been willing to drop everything and move, you know, so many times, like Brigham Young, you know, Joseph Smith and then Brigham Young. And he was, you know, trying to get us to think about, you know, if we would be willing to pick up and drop everything and go. And, you know, as mentioned that we can tell if we would follow the prophet by what we do with what he gives us today. It's always easier to follow a dead prophet, right? Someone who we respect, and we look at the people in that time and we're like, well, that was so easy. They should have just followed, you know. They would have been. It's a lot harder to listen to a living prophet because there's so much more emotion that can be involved. But we have the opportunity, and this is one of the ways, is the prophet asked us to use the full name, which really is not hard at all compared to other things that, you know, other prophets have asked. But are we willing to listen to that and obey? And that's how we know if we would follow Brigham Young.
I've been listening to one of the many podcasts, and they talked about, I don't remember which talk they were talking about, but they said the title of that talk is almost like a sermon in and of itself. And that's how I feel about the title of this talk. The name of the church is not negotiable, period.
Yep, and he's promised us blessings, and I think that's amazing that someone got baptized because of that, and I'm sure there's other experiences, but it is great what President Nelson has done, and I'm grateful, and that is something that we always try to remind you at the end of everyone is to follow the prophet.
But I am not going to end there. Because no. I'm going to ask you all, I've been doing some research into this whole rate and review thing, and apparently that gets you on when more people rate you, then you're more visible for people to find you. Mm. And I think we're getting lost in the shuffle. So if you do enjoy this, please share it and rate it. We'd love to hear some feedback.
Mm.
And like you said,
follow the prophet.